This is The Unholy Union,
a podcast where you'll be subjected to highly offensive marital discourse.
If you do not feel insulted during this week's episode, don't worry, we'll try harder next week.
If you can relate to our ramblings, we want to be friends with you.
If you believe that we take it too far or our mouths are too much for you, then with as much love and sincerity as we can muster, you can suck it.
Welcome to The Unholy Union. How would you like to talk about us today?
Don't we do that every day?
No.
Yes, we do.
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Well, we've been married for almost 10 years now.
Oh, my.
We're going to give the listeners a little insight into us and our relationship.
Because they've just been listening to random idiots online.
Essentially. So let's tell them about us.
So we have to do a real intro?
Yeah, like, let's go into depth just a little bit. Been married for almost 10 years, but we started dating when I was 14 and you were 15.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
God, make us sound old.
We are.
I guess. But all throughout high school, we were together. After high school, you went into the Coast Guard.
Yes.
And I went to college.
Yes.
Still together.
Yes. Traveling to New Jersey,
yep,
to see me.
Yep. And
like
I was
that.
In Southern Virginia for school.
How long was that drive?
8 hours.
Ooh. I mean, that's not that bad. It's better than Florida to Virginia.
True. I guess you could say that. But there's nothing good to see in New Jersey. Sorry, no offense. But
no, and yeah, why would you want to go there?
Yeah, there's not much going on.
I had no choice.
Right. You were kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting it mildly. But we stayed together throughout that whole stint in our relationship. And we decided to move in together when I was 20, you were 21, vice versa, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So we started living together. Then we decided to buy our first house in 2011.
Yeah, we lived with my mommy and daddy for a while. But yeah. I mean, I highly recommend everybody, before you get married, you live with each other so you can, you know, hear them fart and stuff. You got to make sure that your wife or your husband farts right around. Yeah. You got to make sure that you can tolerate it.
Tolerate their chewing.
Yeah, tolerate their chewing. There's little things that people do that gets on other people's nerves, and you got to make sure that
you don't realize it until you are with them.
Yeah.
Almost 24/7. Like,
yeah, you spend all day and all night together, and you got to see them when they wake up first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Make sure that that's somebody you want to wake up with next to for the rest of your life.
Exactly. No, I fully agree. But I don't want to make it sound like you should test it before you buy it kind of deal. Like,
100%. Like, why not?
But I feel like most people know. Like, most people know that this is the person they're going to marry, right? They get that feeling.
Okay, I get that, but you still need to, there's other things than that's not surface level.
I agree. I think that there is a sense of, okay, make sure you're not hiding anything, but at the same time, most of the time you know, like, okay, we're going to get married. I love this person. We're going to get married. Let's live together and make sure that there's no hidden things that you do when you go home and I don't see you.
Yeah.
And take the next step from there. But I think most of the time, though, you get that sense before you move in together. Like, okay, this is it. This is going to be the long haul.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but you still should take the chance and check it out first. I'm not kidding. You need to window shop a little bit.
Window shop? See, that's what I'm saying. You're making it sound like you have to, like, you're still, I don't know, like, you're still trying. But
you
I don't think so. I think there's a point where you're like, okay, this is the real deal. We're going to take the next step. And there's a future that I want with this person. Let's move in together.
Yeah, but that is the next step prior to...
It's not window shopping, though. You don't move in with somebody every other week.
No, but what if you moved in with me and I did something that was awful to you?
There's a couple of those things.
I know, but what if it was something that you just could not take? I don't know what that would be, but what if it was something that you just could not stand with all the fiber of your being and you...
A deal breaker.
Yeah, a deal breaker, and you found out only because you lived with me.
Well, I think we're kind of saying the same thing then, because I agree. Like, you think you have this future with someone and you move in and realize there's a deal breaker. But you don't move in with every person you date. Like, there's a threshold that says, I see a future with this person. Let's take the next step.
Yeah, there's a level of seriousness. You obviously don't just go on fucking Tinder and invite them to live with you. you
that should be a Netflix series.
Tinder living?
Something like, ooh, I kind of like that.
Tinder living.
We should sell it.
No, but I just feel like that is it's important to me, because you do find more out by being with them. You know, you might be at work or whatever, but when you get home, you have to see them and you have to deal with them for however long until your next day of work, or on the weekends or your days off, you're dealing with them for 24 hours straight. Mm-hmm. It's important to me.
All personalities, all attitudes. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I've never really seen this side of you before. Oh, right. My God.
Well, obviously it worked out for us.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I think it's very important to try it.
Yeah, I get you. So we bought the first house in 2011 and decided to get married in 2013.
Yes, that was, see, this was another thing that was on my, like, I will not get married until I'm out of my parents' house.
Yeah.
That was like a rule for me. It's like a personal rule, but it's weird. Like, I would not do it. I'm like, I'm not marrying you, Lindsay. I'm not marrying you in my parents' house. And living with my parents, it makes me feel weird. It's like, oh, we're fucking playing house at mommy and daddy's house. Oh, shit.
I mean, not everybody has that luxury, especially in the economy we're in now.
No, but I'm saying that was my...
Right.
Like, that was one of the things that I would not budge on.
I remember.
Was being out of my parents' house before we...
I think we were engaged for, what, like 3 years?
Yeah, it was a while, for sure, because we couldn't, like... Buying the house, it's hard as shit to do that right now. I mean, we talked about jobs and stuff and life and work on a previous episode.
Right.
Go listen to it if you haven't. But
it's, you and these voices the past couple weeks.
It's more difficult to buy a house now than what it was when we bought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful that we were able to do it.
Get in the market when we did.
Yeah. But like, if we were 21 now and we were trying to buy a house,
I don't know if we could.
I don't think we could.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that experience yet in the job market or industry that you're working in to demand enough money.
Well, no, hold on. Because when we bought our first house, I think I was still a receptionist.
You were.
Right. So I was making maybe $14, $15 an hour.
Yeah, you were for
and
sure.
You were making... I mean, not much more than that.
No, I was making maybe like 16 or 17.
Right. And we were able to buy a small, very, mind you here, very small townhouse.
But yes, that's the thing too. If you are young and you're looking to buy, you can't be like overly specific. You got to almost take what you can get. That's what we did. We cut a lot of fucking corners, not corners, but we liked our first house, but it was tiny.
Yep.
It had two bedrooms in it. That's it.
Yep.
It was a two-bedroom townhouse.
Two-bedroom, one and a half bath.
Yeah, one and a half bath. It was so small, but it worked out for us. And then not only that, it's like forceful save money because, well, hopefully your house values continue to go up. So what I felt like it was essentially investing my money in real estate while using it.
Right.
Which was cool. I mean, it ended up making us enough money to then grow and buy a bigger house and then move to Florida.
We had our daughter in 2014. After we were married in 2013, we had our daughter in 2014. And because that house was the size it was.
Yeah, the size of a matchbox.
Right. We decided to buy our next house in 2015. We stayed there until the pandemic hit in 2020. And I think when the pandemic hit, things started coming into realization. Well, let me back up. In 2019, at the very end of 2019, we went through mental health
Yes.
diagnosis and trying to get our bearings and understanding about it. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020, it was like all these things compounded to tell us, like, why are we in Virginia?
Yeah. I mean, the mental health thing, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Mm-hmm. That was the hardest thing I ever had to deal with. 100%. Like, I didn't think I was going to make it type stuff. But then I moved on. You know, I started getting better. Then the pandemic hit, which kind of made me get worse again because I have OCD. Mm-hmm. And OCD is fucking crazy. So it always takes all these weird events and compounds them and makes them like, you're going to die. You're going to die, Russ. You're going to. But like all that stuff made me realize, like, YOLO, seriously. Mm-hmm. It was a YOLO mentality at that point. I'm like, you know, we've been talking about moving out of the state of Virginia for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But before we got married, we talked about it.
Yes.
Before we had our daughter, we talked about it. Up until the pandemic, we talked about it.
Yeah, we were telling our family members, like, we really want to move. And we hadn't decided. It was like North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina. And
Texas.
Then, yeah, Texas, Arizona, Florida. There was a whole bunch mm-hmm. that were on the map.
South.
Yeah, it was the only thing that they had in common was the hotness.
Yep, no more snow.
Yeah, no more snow and all that. But all this stuff, like the fact that Virginia essentially closed down the economy, we were having to DoorDash every single day to get food. You couldn't do a lot of stuff. You know, our daughter was born. We couldn't take her out to go play or anything. It was mm-hmm. insane. We couldn't take her to, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awful. It made us feel bad as parents. And then that created us to, you know, created the sense of urgency of us to finally start being serious about it.
Yep.
We applied for jobs.
And when we finally got serious about it, it happened quick.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It felt like it happened quick.
I know. And that's the other big benefit that we had was we, as working professionals, we were in our industries for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I say long time, like we are old. But we've been working for what, 10 years, 13
longer
years,
than that.
Something like that. I mean, we've been in career path type stuff for like 13 or 14 years now, and it allowed us to be marketable down here
mm-hmm.
instead of being like that, these guys just want to move to Florida, you know? that is the exact feeling I felt that I was thinking HR people were saying down here.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to come to Florida.
Well, yeah,
they're not bringing a whole lot to the table. But now we're bringing that to the table. Like, we're bringing our professional experience and stuff to the table. And that allowed us to get jobs within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I feel like it was about, I want to say it was May of 2021. Where we really like set out and were applying and blanketing and like really pushing to get a job. And I want to say by June, we had jobs lined up.
Yes.
And July, our house in Virginia was on the market and sold. And by the end of July, we moved.
Right. And it was it was a crazy thing, too, because we got these jobs and they both had start dates, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a drop dead date for us. We had to be in Florida
by that time,
by that date.
Yep.
And oh my God, you talk about stress. We had to pack the fucking house up, get 48 pods up there.
Three, let's be clear. It was three large pods.
But we filled them up. It was like move. There was no downtime for us at that point. And that was stressful, but worth it.
For sure, worth it. I mean, we got down here a week before our start dates. We had a week to explore and go look at neighborhoods and houses. And
went to Clearwater.
Yep, went to Clearwater for the first time. And just, we had a lot of fun that week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we packed it full for sure. We went to the aquarium over there and saw Winter, rest in peace. Our daughter enjoyed seeing that dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched the movie about Winter.
Yep. Dolphin Tale. Yeah.
Dolphin Tale. Yeah. Both of them, right?
Mm-hmm. One and two.
But it was definitely an adventure. It was a tough one, but it was worth it. And if you think you can't do it, you can. It just takes a little bit of sacrifice of your time.
For sure. It's something that you have to be ready for.
You have to want it.
Maybe that's the better word. Something that you have to really want, because it's going to put a lot of stress on you. But there's never going to be the right time to do it, I don't think.
No.
Like, you have to make it the time.
You're always going to say, I don't want
to
do it.
I need to save more money. Yeah, wait till my house has more equity. Or
you'll never do it if you don't just sit down and fucking do it.
Right.
You have to just sit down and do it.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of stuff that you're not going to want to do to do it, which is moving and paying a shitload of money to pods or.
Yep.
It's nuts. Or drive the however long you have to drive to get to your moving destination.
For us was what? Almost 24 hours?
It was 24 hours because of my
24 hours driving.
My EV. Yeah.
We did stop. There was stopping.
Had to. I mean, the EV took a while to charge. So it was stop. Sit there for an hour, go another 70 or 80 miles and do it again.
Rest in peace to that EV too.
Yeah, fuck all that.
Well, I think that kind of covers our history a little bit. Anything I missed?
No.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you this question.
Oh, God.
Oh, stop.
Put me on the spot.
Here we go. What makes us work? What do you think makes us work?
Well, I mean, the fact that
work as in our relationship.
Yeah. Our energy together has always been very good. Like, we get comments all the time on, they're like, you say that stuff to your wife, and it's nothing bad. It's just me being a dumbass, you know, saying stuff that most people wouldn't, but we are so open with each other that we're not offended by what each other says, you know? That's one of the things. And I think also because not only are we husband and wife, but we're also best friends. And I think that's a really big positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people might have that issue. Like, I can't hang out with my wife. Oh, I'd rather hang out with the boys. It's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I actually like you.
Right.
on an average day basis. But
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, right. Well, I agree. I think that one of the things that makes us work is that we don't take shit from each other.
Right. We call each other out.
Exactly. I mean, everybody has bad days, right? And you support your significant other through those bad days. But there's times where it's like you have to check the person, I guess. Like,
100%.
What are you doing right now? What are you saying?
Why are you saying that to me?
Where is this coming from? So I think that is good about us, that we have a relationship, like you said, where we can be open with each other and also say, what is going on with you?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, if you have a bad day at work, you come home and you're kind of grumpy or whatever. I'm not just saying you. I'm saying me too. But it's like you don't bring that home to me and the kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll check each other about that.
Right.
It's both. Like, hey, I get it. You had a bad day. That's fine. Everybody has them. But you're home now.
Right.
Turn it off.
Yep.
Fuck that place. You know, you'll be back tomorrow.
Deal with it then.
Yeah. Be depressed tomorrow.
Right.
Or, you know, just leave it at work. And we call each other out for stuff like that. And it kind of.
And it's never like malicious. It's always like, what's going on with you?
Yeah. Hey.
What the hell's your problem?
I can feel your bad energy here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tone it down a little bit. You're home now. It's fine. Everything's awesome. I did the dishes today. Yay.
Uh-huh. You have clothes to wear today.
Yay. Look what I did. I washed 4 forks.
Yay. We'll clap for you.
Yay.
Okay. My other thing is I think we do a really good job at team parenting.
Yeah, for sure.
I think like with our daughter, we take moments to actually talk about how we're going to handle shit.
Right.
Like we just had the period talk with my daughter.
Oh, jeez.
So she's 8.
I did have to leave the room, though, because I was laughing my ass off.
Fair enough. But she's 8. So this is, you know, something that's going to start happening for her soon. So we've always told her bits and pieces, but we always try to say age appropriate. We're not trying to get real intense real fast. But she knows when she was a little kid, she knew about lady time. Mommy had lady time and needed her privacy. And you know, all these things, right? So,
well, and she's 8 now, so she can open doors. She walks in on you, you know, when you're, it's weird. Like, I gotta go to the bathroom. Okay. She won't talk to you all day, but as soon as you go in the fucking bathroom, she's like, hey, what are you doing? Uh-huh. What do you mean, what am I doing? There's one thing I do in here. You know?
Play on your phone. But we had the talk and, you know, described some things that are going to happen to her body and et cetera.
Yeah.
So I think, but we talked about that beforehand. Like, is this the right way to talk about it? Like, obviously this ball in my court because I'm a woman and she's going to be a woman.
Yeah.
So I have more knowledge about it.
Good luck. Try having me explain it. I have to Google that shit.
But we still talked about, you know, what we thought would be appropriate before we had the conversation. So
yeah.
I think things like that, we do really well together in parenting our child. One of the last things I'll say is we actually did this. I want to say it was right when we came down here, maybe, but it was all about the love languages, right? The 5 love languages that came out.
Oh, God.
The book that came out, and it said that you're supposed to learn your significant other's love language. And I think we've talked about it a lot. Like, this is mine. This is yours. How do we come together in between?
Yeah.
As well as there's a lot of different memes and little short videos about how people try to manage their spouse, significant other's love language that makes us laugh hysterically.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's one thing that we have been trying to do is relearn each other's love language. Do you remember what the love languages are?
I know what yours is.
What's mine?
Acts of service.
And what does that mean?
Do the dishes.
I mean, that's an example.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
It's
helping.
Getting support in areas that I feel are a burden. So I can't do everything all the time. You jump in and do dishes. Like, that's
my thing.
That's an act of service.
Is dishes.
Yours, the last time we did this was physical touch.
I don't think that's true, though.
Well, they can change, right? Well, and you're supposed to relearn as they change.
Well, I think it's like a little bit of both. It's 2, I think.
What do you think your other one is?
Physical touch and give me shit. Give me stuff.
Like, what is it called? Hold on. Receiving gifts.
Yeah. Because I like stuff.
Yeah, but you do that for yourself, though.
I love myself.
And that's good, having a healthy relationship with yourself. But I don't think you would really necessarily like it from someone else. Do you?
If you bought me fish and shit, just say, hey, honey, I went to the store and Bass Pro was right next door. And here, I bought you a bunch of lures. I'd be like, holy shit. Let's go to the bedroom.
Okay. No, I don't believe that. I mean, I guess I see your point, like, to an extent, maybe it's one or both. But what I struggle with is the physical touch part.
Yeah, I do think you might be slightly autistic.
I may be on the spectrum.
I'm serious.
I agree, because sound, I have an audio sensitivity.
Yes, you are physical touch adverse, and you definitely have sensitivity to
sound.
Well, yeah, it's like busy sounds. Like, if somebody's talking and then somebody else is talking, even if they're not interrupting each other, it's just
too much.
Like, you're in a bar and everybody's talking, you get like a little nuts.
I get overwhelmed. Sensory overload. Some people may say that's actually ADHD. I don't know. I have never been diagnosed.
I don't either. I just know what autism is, and it seems just a little bit.
Yeah, it could be on the spectrum.
Because you're not like that all the time. It's only when you're, it builds, I think, for you.
Right. But with you and our daughter, let's be clear that I don't not hug you guys or not touch you guys.
No.
But if I'm in the middle of something and you want physical touch in that moment.
I think you get stressed out over doing, like, having shit on your plate too.
Right. And that's why I think acts of love as my love language is 100% true. Like, I need that. I need to feel supported. Whereas when you want physical touch, I never feel like it's at a convenient time for me.
got to be a convenient time for you.
Right. I know that sounds very selfish. And I'm trying really hard to do better about it. But it overwhelms me. Like I'm in the middle of something.
See, that does seem less autistic and more like just general annoyance. Like, fuck you. Get away from me. I'm doing something. But no. The noise thing, I think, is definitely a little bit spectrum related.
Well, I think getting overwhelmed with general life.
Yeah, but that's everyone.
I know. We're doing a little bit of therapy right here.
No, we're not good. We are not licensed therapists. Do not take any of this as as medical or whatever advice.
Well, so I think that kind of goes over our love languages and what we think are ours. So what do you think are some of our struggles, some of the things we need to work on? Well, we may cut this bit out, but I just want to hear.
Personally, I got to stop buying shit.
Well, that's one of mine. Finances were a struggle for us. But for sure. I think we're actually starting to get on a better track.
Yeah, thanks.
And feeling good about it.
Thanks to what?
Cube.
Yeah, cube money is money.
Cube money is money?
Yeah, so there's a system called the envelope system. It's where you...
Envelope budgeting.
Yeah, envelope budgeting. It's where you stuff... This is if you use cash. But if you would put... And names of envelopes down, right? So one envelope would be
mortgage,
gas. One envelope would be mortgage, groceries, blah, 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 blah. Keep whatever bills you have. You would put a set amount of money in each one every month. And then you would pay your bills out of those specific envelopes. And you weren't allowed to take from others unless absolutely necessary. Obviously, it's your money. But the more you hold yourself to this system, the better you are. Well... Who the fuck uses cash anymore? Seriously. I mean,
it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get cash. I don't think I've seen a dollar bill in 10
years.
How
do you pay your mortgage with cash?
Right. So Cube has digitized that whole process. You create cubes, which then you allocate your bank money in, and then you have to unlock these every time you want to spend your money. So if we go out to eat, we have an eat out cube. That's an awful name.
As soon as you said it, I was waiting.
We put X amount of dollars in there a month. And once we hit that top, or, you know, we run out of money, that's it. No more eating out. We got to eat at home or we got to go outside and eat grass.
No, we either eat at home or we can shuffle some money around to make it work. But the point is, you're supposed to be able to fit in your budget.
Yes, it creates better habits because that's the other thing, too. It's a debit card. Credit cards are awful, in my opinion. I mean,
you can carry a balance.
Yes.
And when you start carrying a balance, you start accruing interest if you don't pay it off.
And
that's where you get fucked.
Snowball effect. And it's hard. A lot of people can't get out of it, but this has helped us get out of it. I mean, we had some issues financially with contractors and things like that, and then our taxes launched up. It was just a huge snowball that hit us all at once, but that has helped tremendously. It gives you a really good outlook on your finances too, because you're pre-budgeting, you're not post-budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
So you are making a budget before you spend your money. That's why I hate budgeting apps.
Right.
It's like, what good is this if I'm able to spend all this shit before I'm actually budgeting it?
Right.
Now I'm forced. It's like, to spend any money, I have to unlock this cube.
Exactly.
And say, all right, I'm eating out right now. Ooh. but it's a really good system. We like it a lot. It costs money, though, which I have a little bit of a hard time with. It's like, you're trying to help me save money. Why are you making me spend money?
But it's $8. It's not, but they're crazy.
I mean, you got to help them develop their processes and their software.
You don't have to pay $8. You can get the free version.
Yeah, but that's not family.
Well, that, and it doesn't allow you to have unlimited cubes to put money in.
And we don't have a lot.
Says you.
Okay, see ya.
We've got a lot, but that's okay. We're making our way through it. I feel a lot better now than I did maybe like 4 months ago.
Because you're pre-budgeting.
Yeah, it was scary 4 months ago. Like, I felt like we didn't know what we were spending money on. And
we didn't.
It was crazy. So it felt like the Wild Wild West. And now I feel like we actually have a structure to handle our finances better.
Yeah, and like I said, you can't spend what you don't have with Cube. That it just doesn't work. If
yep.
if you have $50 in your eat out cube, I'm going to keep saying eat out, and you want to go to this high fluting restaurant with you and your family, and it's $75. Well, you better turn your ass back around and walk out that place because you can't afford it.
Exactly.
It yep. checks you.
Well, anything else that you think is a struggle for us?
I don't know.
I think my other
codependency. A little bit.
I actually didn't write that down.
How did you not write that down?
I don't know. We talk about this all the time.
Therapist said it about us. A professional. They get paid for that.
So I think it's kind of both, right? It's what makes us work and one of our struggles.
Well, I mean, there's a point. Like, hey, honey, I got to go to the bathroom. Can you come with me?
We no, do not do
no,
that.
No. No, but there's points like that we do go a little overboard.
True.
Like, hey, can you go pick up dinner? Only if you come with me. Why? Why do I have to come
uh-huh.
with you?
Uh-huh.
Our kid's playing outside. I don't want to have to go get her, so we all go. It's fine. Or we just went to the dentist and our daughter had to stay in the back because...
And I wanted you to stay with me.
Psychologically, that is better for the kid to not be with their parents while they're getting their teeth cleaned and things like that. And I had to go back to work. And you said, I'm mad at you.
I did not say I was mad at you. I said I wanted you to stay.
Yeah, I know. But for what?
Because I'm going to bed.
Because you were sitting there doing nothing.
Watching Sonic.
Yeah, watching Sonic on the TV in that smelly place. All that dental smell and all that.
Yeah, and then not being able to see our daughter. Like, she's in the back room, you know, getting work done on her teeth. She had a cavity. So the idea of codependency, I think, is not just you and I. It's also with our daughter.
100%. And she has developed it also, which is awful.
But is it? Like, I feel like there's a line, right? I agree. Like, we should be able to go and do things without the other. Like, we don't do that enough.
She has to bring the dog with her to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, more like fear of being alone than just codependency, because she doesn't bring us in there.
But she would.
I guess.
If we said, I'll go with you, she'd be like, all right.
Yeah, I think codependency for us, it's one of our strengths because we like being with each other.
Yes.
We like doing things together. We take it maybe just a little over the line,
yeah,
a little too far.
For sure. I mean, like I said, hey, I'm going to go to McDonald's real quick to pick up some food. Can you come with me?
No.
No, I don't want to. Well, fuck you too then. It's like, well, what? It's 4 minutes down the road. Oh,
yep,
my
us.
Goodness. Why can't you go? You're not doing anything. I like not doing anything. This is your idea. To get a McChicken.
Those are good, though.
McRib.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I've never had it, and I never will.
It's like at school back in the day when... What
never
was it,
had
the
that either. Yes.
Rib thing.
Yeah, that's yeah. like compressed meat.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Flashbacks. Okay. One of the other things that I think is a struggle for us is finding romance time.
Yeah, that is super difficult.
Yeah. Finding time for us to, you know, watch a movie together or go on a date or like go out to eat together or, you know, this other thing. Like, we, not that including our daughter in any of that is wrong.
No.
I just mean having like one-on-one time with each other. It's not.
Life of a parent.
Right. It's hard to get that sense of intimacy with that. I'm not talking about just physical, like just one-on-one time together. I mean, this is pretty much it, right?
Like, yeah,
podcasting. This is our intimacy moment. So congratulations, you're here for it. But like any additional time where it's just you and I and we watch a movie or we go to dinner, like I think that's one thing we could do better. Like it doesn't have to be all the time, but maybe we do it like once a quarter or I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that that still goes along with the codependency stuff because
we don't want her out of our sight.
We don't want her not partaking with us.
True.
So how do you have romance time when you want your kid to tag along with you everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to McDonald's. Come on, kid.
Oh, McDonald's is romantic to you.
She's like, what do you mean? I'm fucking playing with my friends.
It's all love. It's all love.
But yeah.
So all that said, I wanted to kind of talk about why we started this podcast in the first place.
Because we're bored.
Is that what you think?
No, I like doing this stuff.
Me too. And one of the reasons why I like doing it is because kind of what we said up until this point is our relationship is one where we can have these kinds of conversations where it might be dividing or divisive
to each other.
Right. Or, you know, it might cause what others may see as an argument. But we get over it.
Yeah,
like, it's not something that makes or breaks us.
Right. We don't care.
Right. We have conversations. Whether or not we agree or disagree, we move on.
We air it out. And then it doesn't have to come to an agreement either.
Right.
It can be, well, you think that and I'm going to think what I think. And that's just the way it is. And then guess what? Then we go to sleep and then we codependent all day.
Yeah, still codependent, even when we disagree.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of goes into why we called it Unholy Union, even, because, well, we cuss a lot.
Yeah, I think we kind of put the unholy part on there to immediately give people the sense of like, hey, if you're easily offended or whatever, don't listen to this.
Right. We are going to say things that are our opinions, our singular person opinion. Whether or not we're codependent, we have singular opinions. We're going to say things that may be offensive. We're going to cuss. We're going to talk about things that are happening in the world. And if at any point it offends anyone, let our marriage be a lesson. Like, we're good. Russ and I are going to offend each other at some point.
We always do.
Yeah. But we get over it and the conversation ends and you move on to the next topic and it's fine.
And then I go do dishes.
You and dishes. Hashtag dishes. Okay. So, but I think that's one of the reasons why we called it Unholy Union, because it can offend. We do cuss, but we're still married.
Yeah. And we never hold a grudge.
At the end of the day, we're still married. Well, those are all my notes for today.
That's plenty. Oh, you know what, though? Maybe we can add a little bonus.
Tell me.
Mario.
Oh, you want to talk about that? Our codependency where we all went to the movie theaters together?
Yeah, I think we should talk about the movie. It's still in theaters, and I'm sure people are still going to see it and all that good stuff. We saw it last weekend.
Yeah.
And
we went to an AMC theater.
And it was awesome.
That was awesome.
So we're used to Regal in Virginia, and oh my goodness, it was a total upgrade compared to the Regal that we went to.
Right. The seats recline.
They're mushy.
They're so comfy.
Like I want to take our kid there just so I can take a fucking glorious nap.
Right? That would be amazing. Like, even if you sat in the front row, these chairs recline so far back that it's not going to hurt your neck.
Right. You're not craning your neck to, look up to see it. You're leaning back. Oh, that was awkward. I just tried to get comfortable, and these mic stands aren't the best.
That was hilarious. But yes, so they also have little tables that swing in and out.
Yep. They will bring your concessions directly to your seat.
They will even bring food, like actual food.
Yeah, for sure. They, it was insane. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I ordered this, the pop, you know, popcorn and a drink and all that stuff. I'm like, there's no way they're going to bring this up here. I got to go down there and get it. But I waited. And sure enough, here they come walking up there. I'm like, damn.
So we really like the theater. So that was a very big plus.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first movie that we've seen. And I don't know how long.
I can't think of how long either, to be honest with you.
I don't remember the last one. But
like in theaters.
In theaters, right.
Right. Well, the movie itself, I mean, iconic.
It was fucking amazing.
Iconic.
I couldn't believe at how true they stayed to the characters and the video games themselves.
Right.
Like Donkey Kong, Mario Kart, all that stuff. They figured out a way to put it in there without messing any of it up.
I honestly, when I first saw the preview and I heard it was Chris Pratt, I was not sure.
I felt the same way, but the more I thought about it, you can't have the character, it's me, the whole time. You know what I mean? It's got to be, you know, spoken in a way that everybody can understand.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, but I don't know. It just took me aback for a moment.
He did a great job.
It was awesome.
Yeah, he still had slight accent, enough to where you could still hear the iconic Mario. And then there was moments of...
It's-a me.
Yeah, but he did a good job. They casted everybody well, like Jack Black as Bowser. Oh, my God.
Jack Black as Bowser is probably my favorite thing right now.
Like, that shit was funny.
He literally sings in the movie, and as Bowser, he's singing about Princess Peach, and he says, "Peaches, peaches, peaches, peach, peach." Like, I die just thinking about it. It is hilarious.
I liked it. It was a really good. It was a really good movie. The sound effects that they would play, I'm like, they pulled that straight out of the damn game.
Mm-hmm. The Donkey Kong song, I started fist pumping.
Well, then even the soundtrack, like the Mario theme music, they did a whole rendition, like orchestra and stuff. And I'm like, holy crap, this is insane.
It was amazing.
And during the whole movie, I kept looking at you because it was like an iconic moment from the game or an iconic sound from the game. And I'm like, yes!
We're getting pumped up in there, and our daughter's just focused on the screen.
She's just laser focused, like, this is fucking awesome.
Colors.
Yeah.
But we actually asked her this morning which one she liked better, Super Mario Brothers or Sonic.
Right, because she's been into Sonic. Like, the Sonic movies were, and still are, her thing.
Yes, she really likes the movies. And I was really surprised. For me, I think I would take Super Mario Brothers over Sonic.
I think so, too, because Sonic is blending the real life with the video game.
Right. Universe. I feel the same way. It's not really true to gameplay, like the game story, the gameplay. Like, they're trying to insert Sonic into our lives, our world, which they did a really good job on Sonic.
It was an awesome movie, too.
But Super Mario Brothers is all about the game, and it's amazing.
Yes, it was very good.
But our daughter has said that she prefers Sonic.
She said that's her favorite movie of all time.
Right.
Oh my golly.
That's giving it a lot of props. But I think it's because of that aspect. Like, to her, seeing Sonic in our world is awesome.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Whereas seeing Super Mario Brothers in, you know, fake world is cool, but...
Well, I thought she would like Mario more because Princess Peach.
Right.
Because she was prominent in that movie. It wasn't like a side character or, you know, whatever. She was essentially a main character.
Princess Peach is badass.
She was in there more than Luigi was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she would really like it because of her, but she still chooses Sonic.
Well, let's ask her. Let's get her take on it.
Yeah, I will for sure. But I'm not done yet.
Okay. We'll cut that and we'll put that at the end here in a second. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that Illumination, which is who made the movie, partnering with Nintendo spells a lot of big trouble for Disney.
I agree.
I mean, you have an IP there, or IPs, I should say, that are already well established.
Favorites.
Yeah, they're iconic video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, our kid knew about Mario, and she's really never played the games, but she knows about it.
Yep.
You know, she's been, because of me, and then I guess people at school have Mario backpacks or things
daycare,
like that.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is I think this is going to hurt Disney because of the fact that these are all well-established IPs. Like, Nintendo has a ton of stuff under their belt that has been developed for a long time.
I mean, think about it, though. When Disney acquired, or whatever the word is, Marvel,
mm-hmm.
that was huge.
Yeah, and they did a really good job with it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Think about Illumination acquiring Nintendo.
I know.
Like, I feel like it's on the same scale.
Right.
And what we're going to see is going to be on the same scale.
I hope it is.
But they are going to take it to another level, in my opinion.
I hope so. Like I said, Nintendo has Star Fox. That would be a fucking awesome movie. Nintendo's version of Top Gun. Oh! And then
Zelda.
Zelda would be huge.
Kirby. Like, Zelda, I feel like, would be a huge one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People nerd out over Zelda. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the most cosplayed group of characters out there.
Like, if
Link
they,
and Zelda? Oh, my God.
If they take this to the length that I think they could, it's going to be on the level of Disney and Marvel.
Well, I think they're going to, because this movie blew up. It's mm-hmm. I think it's the biggest video game movie
ever?
Release of all time, yeah. And I know Sonic was that, but I think it got dethroned by this. Don't quote me on that, though. Mm. But yeah. So let's talk to our kiddo about Mario.
Let's do it. Kid talk.
Hi, honey.
Hey, babe.
Babe. Okay. Oh, so Mommy and Daddy wanted to talk to you about the Mario movie. What did you think about the Mario movie that we went and saw last weekend?
Good.
That's it? Why are you making weird faces at me right now? What was your favorite part?
Everything.
No, come on. Explain thyself.
My favorite part was when Mario saved his brother.
Oh, okay. When Mario saved Luigi. What was your least favorite part?
When the guy ripped his mustache off.
Oh, yeah. The you can see that in the previews where Bowser was pulling on Luigi's mustache.
I hated that.
You didn't like that part? Did you like Bowser? Well, you got to say no. Nobody can see you. You can't shake your head,
Peaches, no. Peaches, 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 peaches.
What about Donkey Kong? Did you like Donkey Kong, the big monkey?
Yes.
Okay.
He has hands on his feet.
Yeah, he's got feet hands. Okay, and then one thing that you did say to me and Mommy this morning was your favorite animated movie, video game movie.
What? Mario.
I thought you said it was Sonic.
And Mario. Well, Sonic.
Why do you like Sonic better? What is better about Sonic to you?
Where he says, holy sherbert.
You just like it because it sounds like he's about to say a bad word, but he doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Holy
sherbert. So out of 10, what would you give the Mario movie?
I'll give it 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10? And what is Sonic to you?
10 out of 10.
All right. Well, that's
11 out of 10.
11 out of 10. So they got bonus points. All right. Well, there's our kid talk and our kid review of the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Love you.
Bye.
Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.unholyunionpodcast.com.
Why did you just say www.
That's my song.
Like, the internet's been around a long time.
Is it automatic for www?
Yeah, you don't have to. Okay.
But I want to.
Try it one more time without that.
And if you want to buy some merch, beach towels, flip-flops, slides, whatever they're called now. I don't know. I'm not hip like that anymore.
T-shirt.
T-shirt. Yeah, t-shirt time. store.unholyunionpodcast.com. And you can visit us on Twitter, Facebook.
Instagram.
All the things. Enjoy your day. And our daughter's growling. So we have to put her to bed now. Bye-bye.
It's what you do with the things you love.